This is a creepy one. Monkeys have tails. No tail.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay. This is a creepy one. Monkeys have tail. No.
You are listening to The Obscure Gentleman, a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to pop culture and filtering it through the eyes and ears of the internet. I'm your host, Aaron A. Alvarez, and who might you be?
I'm Alex Mitchell.
And that's it?
And that is it.
All right, just Alex.
Just Alex.
So, we have a Patreon.
Yes, we do.
Patreon.com/TheObscureGentleman. If you would like to support the podcast and the webcomic, feel free to become a patron. There's some goodies for different levels and stuff like that. Also, again, with the podcast, if you're not listening to it on iTunes and you're just streaming from the site, please subscribe on iTunes. Write us a review, stars, hearts, you know, the whole deal.
Share with your friends, too.
Share with your friends, your family, your loved ones, your dogs, your cats, your aunts, your uncles, your Peter Noonans and stuff.
I have no idea what that was.
Let's just get to this. So, Antonio,
do your thing.
Back together again, eh? Let's play.
Gang bang!
There was a firefight!
But I don't want to be a pirate!
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
How can you snap?
This is a big one. Hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you.
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy.
Kiss my sweaty balls, you fat.
Oh, look. Rocks.
Game over.
You lose. Good day, sir.
No. No.
All right. So it's Thanksgiving week. And Star Wars is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Both those things are completely unrelated.
But
I figure let's just have a little fun this week since everyone's gonna be stuffing stuff in their mouth
and sleepy too.
And sleepy.
That's what turkey does.
And because Star Wars is coming up, you know,
it's an exciting time for people that like Star Wars.
Yeah. So
28 days, I think, or just
I don't know.
Less than that
at this point. I think it's less than a month now.
Yeah. Wow.
It's coming though. It's definitely coming. So,
yes.
Today's episode is centered on Star Wars, but a little more focused on an aspect of Star Wars, George Lucas, in general, because, to go head first into what's happening, he made some statements recently, and it made people sort of, like, step back and go, like, what the fuck is wrong with him?
Yeah.
So, let me just read.
Okay.
These are excerpts sort of strung together. There's a Vanity Fair thing, and there's a video recorded. J.J. Abrams is in it, and George Lucas is separate, and it's sort of they're being interviewed. And, George Lucas had this to say. And this was on asking about, like, the current Star Wars and him making Star Wars movies and directing in general.
Yeah.
So, you go to make a movie and all you do is get criticized and people try to make decisions about what you're going to do before you do it. You know, it's not much fun and you can't experiment. You can't do anything. You have to do it in a certain way. I don't like that. I never did. I started out in experimental films and I want to go back to experimental films. But of course, no one wants to see experimental films. I'm curious that the Force doesn't get muddled in a bunch of garbly gook.
So I could kind of understand where he's coming from. He's made statements like this before, even before he sold the rights.
Since 1984, he's been saying he's going to make experimental films.
Yeah, and I think Red Tails, he finally got that off the ground.
That wasn't experimental, though.
No, he did say that it was hard to get that movie made because,
Yeah, but
he's always saying this, like, oh, I'm gonna make, you know, smaller films, and even Red Tails is like a bigger film.
Yeah, he still hasn't done that, but this is the statement he made, and he seemed very, like, not angry, just kind of fed up.
Yeah.
On the heels of the new Star Wars movie, which is kind of people scratching their heads like thought you were okay with this, you know?
Yeah.
Which he kind of doesn't seem okay with what's happening.
Well, he had stories written that were not used.
That I mean, that gets to the meat of this. So let's just go into the comments.
Yeah.
So James has to say, LOL, he's not a bad person. He's just not the best at writing screenplays. And George Lucas is always called, people call him names, say he's a horrible person, he's terrible. But I mean, when you cut down to it, his screenplay writing, it might be his weak point.
Yeah.
Well,
I will say that, like, because I've seen the Clone Wars and he did a lot of story outlines for them. They're really good. It's just he needs other people to kind of handle them.
I've always thought he's a good world builder.
Yeah.
And he's good to come a good concept maker.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I would say a lot of people love Empire and Jedi a little bit more than the first movie.
Yeah.
Not
to knock the first
movie. I'm in the camp of I'm always in a battle between Jedi and that being my favorite Star Wars movie. But yeah, he's not a bad person.
No. This is the thing I've never enjoyed whenever it comes to Lucas. They're always acting like he's literally like Hitler, and it's like he just made movies that were prequels to things that you didn't like. I mean, that you loved.
Yeah, I mean,
like, and then it's like, oh, like I hate him forever. He's legitimately like a good guy.
Yeah,
he does things for the community.
The problem is people mix up their hatred or their dislike of
the prequels,
and they put it onto him.
Yeah.
They put on the things they dislike about what he makes onto him and make it act like he's a horrible person. But in reality, everything points to him just being like a dude who doesn't make the best decisions.
Yeah.
A
guy that does have a lot of creative control.
Yeah, but he's clearly not a bad person. So,
yeah.
So, okay, so Tim says, getting criticized for art? What a new concept. Okay, Tim does have a point here. Yeah, Lucas has never been a fan of critics.
Yeah.
I mean, myself as an artist, it's not always the best thing, but it comes with the territory. When you create something
and you put it out there,
you're going to be criticized. And I feel like Lucas would have grown thicker skin, but I mean, the onslaught of the prequels and the special editions.
Yeah.
That is a lot of hate.
Yeah.
Like, that's maybe more hate than any modern act has ever been, like, director or artist has ever been given. Like, there's documentaries about the hatred of him. The People versus George Lucas and other things like that. So, I mean, yeah, I can kind of understand him where it's like he's sick of the criticism.
I think with him, though, it's like, I feel bad for him, like, honestly, because he has created some of the most, you know, memorable characters in the
movie. Oh, no, he totally has.
And
concepts.
And I do feel like, you know, for as much hatred as he gets, he doesn't get that same amount of
respect.
Yeah, and yeah. I think it goes both ways. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's the problem is that people focus too much on their dislikes than the stuff that they do like.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Tim has a point that, yeah, getting criticized for art, it does come with the territory, but
yeah.
Lucas has, I think, it's almost an overload of criticism he's gotten to a point where it's like almost like this thing that I love,
yeah,
I can't look at it without just people just screaming at me.
Yeah.
So. All right, so Sean says he should have his ass kicked for those last three installments.
Again, this is just it's just more.
Yeah, like, he should be beaten up for making children's movies that I don't like.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. That
I did notice this weird like phenomenon regarding this. Like, far worse movies than the prequels have been made.
Oh yes, in like, general, yeah.
But the prequels, for whatever reason, and I think I figured out why that they get this much hate is because people love Star Wars so much that it feels like it physically hurts
it's
them to
it's,
see.
It's because it's Star Wars,
but
why.
it's like
that's why.
But I've never understood that because Star Trek movies like They have shitty movies too, and but no one.
You can watch any other movie, and it like comes in theaters, and it will probably be worse than the prequels. I mean, I do have problems with the prequels, obviously.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, yeah, it's they put them at this level where it's like they're the worst movies ever made.
It's like no,
yeah,
no.
And it's like he shouldn't get his ass kicked. It's like
he's
come
just
on.
Yeah.
Okay, so Brian says, "Man, it's like I can't even put art into the world without people having an opinion on it. I'm just gonna stay in my giant mansion where nobody disagrees with me ever." Okay, it's similar to the last one, but it does bring up a point where no one disagrees with him. Lucas, and it's, you watch any of the makings of the prequel trilogies, he was surrounded, I don't know if he still is, but he was surrounded by nothing but yes men.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the stuff, the making, and you read into the making or watch the featurettes for the original trilogy, at least the first Star Wars that he did direct.
He had, like, studios breathing down his neck.
Well,
he had,
it wasn't
like...
just that. It was, like, the people he was working alongside were, like, actually communicating with him and saying, look, George, I don't think this will work. How about we do this? And there was, like, an actual, like, creative process, like, between people. Whereas you watch, like, episode 1 through 3, the featurettes for that, it's all him and everyone's just like, yeah, good idea, George. So, I mean,
Star Wars initially to me feels like him having ideas and then other people adding to it. Whereas in the prequels, it seems like it's mostly just kind of
him. It's just not that. It's like the creative aspect of sort of people saying like, look, this doesn't work, and him sort of fighting back and finding ways to make it work. Help. It's like his ideas were filtered through people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was still his vision. The problem is there was in the prequels there wasn't as much of that, and
yeah.
it's clear when you do watch that footage, it's just a lot of like
yeah.
people like kind of reacting nervously, not wanting to upset him or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that comes with becoming extraordinarily famous and rich. It's like no one wants to sort of question you. So yeah, that's a he says the same things the other dude, but I mean that's kind of a good point. So Lori says, it's all good, George. The real Star Wars fans will always love your movies. Not sure about this new one, but thanks for giving us movies that I will watch with my son forever.
Huh.
And, you know, that's true. I mean,
regardless of how you feel about the prequels,
I
think that they... I know that there's a generation of kids that grew up on those things now.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, whatever. I hate this whole... kids can't have anything.
Yeah.
I hate this whole...
Which we've gone into, like,
many times. Have. I feel like it's a common theme regarding
like, while I don't, like, agree with her that loving all the movies makes you a real Star Wars fan, I do agree with her that people will always love the movies in general. I mean, I do.
I like all
of them. You can't use the true Scotsman fallacy of, like, you're only a true Star Wars... It's like...
Yeah.
People say, you're only a true Star Wars fan if you only like the originals. It's like... No, you can love whatever you want
And that extends to new Star Trek,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so, I mean...
It's so... Whatever, however this new Star Wars is, you know,
yeah,
people will like it.
And that's the thing, no matter what, people will love these movies.
Yeah.
There's, for as much shit as the prequels get, they're still beloved by a lot of children, so...
There are people that...
There are people who are our age who still love them, too.
Yeah,
I mean, I
enjoy them. Clones is not my favorite, but there's parts of it
I
like.
I would say I genuinely do enjoy the last one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it's the least flawed one, but
yeah.
I enjoy it. All right, so De Bono-san says, actually, feel sorry for him. He was bullied out of his own franchise in a way, as he knew that if he held on to Star Wars, he'd only end up losing it. He wasn't bullied out of Star Wars. He sold it.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of talk like this where it's like, Disney just took it away from him. No, that's not how it works. They can't. There's just like, here, $4 billion. It's mine now. It's like, no. What happened was, George Lucas decided, you know what, I'm washing my hands of this.
Yeah,
and he sold it.
And you know what? And he even before he sold it, I remember saying, you know, he made similar statements like this where it was like, why do I want to keep working on this when everyone's just gonna shit on it?
Yeah, he did. That was another quote I came across where, he said, what's the point of making this when all people do is get angry at you?
Yeah. And I think that was the first time I remember, like, other fans who were actively like hating the guy kind of felt a bit taken aback by that. Yeah. And they felt kind of bad for all the shit they were thrown at him. Yeah, I mean, why would he want to keep working on this if, you know, and he even said it's time for new filmmakers to come up and, you know, mold the Star Wars franchise into their own creation. And so, I think that's cool that he's willing to let something that he had so much watch and say over actually, you know, let other people take control. I think that's cool.
No, it is. I mean, and so this notion that it was stolen from him.
That's weird.
And he just sold rights because he knew eventually it was going to be taken from him. It makes no sense. It's it's again trying to paint Disney as the evil corporate overlords, but it's like he didn't want to deal with Star Wars anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
Okay, so let's see. Okay, so John says doesn't want the Force to be muddled into a bunch of gobbledygook. Is this not the man who gave us the concept of midichlorians? You know what? This is used a lot against him.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I think with the midichlorians, he realized it was a mistake because
he doesn't bring it up ever again.
No. It was used in episode one and then never said again.
Yeah.
I think that's him actually.
I think if he could edit out those scenes, he would. I think the problem is, though, is that there's too much dialogue pertaining to it that it's not like a one-liner. It's like there's a whole scene.
He would have dedicated to essentially get all the actors to overdub their lines.
Essentially, and honestly, if I think if they were young enough or if he had the time back in the day, he would have done that. But
yeah, I mean, but people always say like, Lucas is this. He introduced this. It's like you look at it, he also realized Jar Jar was a mistake, or no, not that it was a mistake, he realized that people didn't like it enough.
Here's the thing about, and I wanted to say this from Plane Zero, but I might as well say it now, was that in the prequels, like the Attack of the Clones, or Revenge of the Sith, he does pay attention to criticism. He's not just blindly doing whatever the fuck he wants. He said, like, okay, people hated Jar Jar.
So he reduced the role.
Yeah, he gave him, like, I think, like, 3 or 4 scenes in the second one.
Yeah.
And in the third one, he's in it for, like, 2 scenes. He doesn't say a fucking thing.
He reduced the role.
Yeah.
Anakin
was less whiny in the third one, more or less. Well,
that could be said it is part of the problem where it's, like, he needs fan input to decide how to make his movies. I mean, it would have been interesting to see him make these movies without fan input. Where it's like
would it though?
I mean, it would have been more his vision. I mean,
I guess,
but it still would have been his unfiltered vision. But who knows? I mean, again, it's playing the game of like, what if?
Yeah, because I'm more or less okay with what I've got now. Yeah. Do I want to see Jar Jar being the key to all this? And you know, I don't know.
It's like poetry. It rhymes.
It rhymes.
All right. So the next one, Lee says, George never liked to direct. That's actually true. When David Lynch was supposed to be doing Empire.
Yeah.
In the early
talks, I would have loved that, actually. It would have been really weird.
Yeah, maybe when, I mean, people also forget David Lynch directed Elephant Man, which is
and Mel Brooks produced that.
Yes. But David Lynch was originally going to direct it when they initially had their meetings and stuff. Lynch asked him, why don't you want to direct? And Lucas essentially said he doesn't like it because his experience on the first Star Wars just burned him out.
Yeah.
And it is one of those things where him directing the prequels sort of felt like I'm the only one who could do this right sort of thing. I don't want anyone else to touch my baby.
I think with Jedi, I think there's something where he felt that it never really went the way he wanted it to go, and maybe that's why he...
I mean, yeah, maybe. Well, but then also you have to think there's a big space from 1983 to 1989. Yeah.
And well, a lot of people are saying a lot of stuff happened to him. Either
it did. Yeah. He went through a very traumatic divorce. Yeah. His wife left him for their carpenter, and then she's married to him for 2 years, then left him. And Lucas lost a lot of money.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't realize that a lot of his money was lost.
That's why it took him a long time to actually get married. He only got married recently, I think.
Yeah. Within the last 5 years. He had from when Jedi ended, between that period time and Phantom Menace, the man's life he was on a roller coaster. He went through a lot of shit, and maybe he just needed to get back to directing. That's why he wanted to direct Episode 1. Because I mean, initially when episode one was announced, there were talks of like, hey, maybe who's gonna direct it? Is it Luke, like, but then Lucas, of course, directed it. So
yeah,
okay. So Cody says, I think part of the problem is that the George Lucas who did the prequels isn't the same George Lucas who did THX. Then he was young, rebellious, and wanting to take on the world. The latter man has trapped himself in an empire he constructed surrounded by yes-men. With the prequels, he made safe choices, not daring ones. Young Lucas would make the experimental films regardless of what critics said. The current Lucas seems to be afraid of criticism.
I do think that kind of sums up everything we've been saying.
It's a lot of valid points. I mean, yeah, young Lucas was rebellious as fuck. Like,
yeah.
You look at how the system was back then, it's like, him and Spielberg were like the, and Scorsese, and it's weird to hold, like, to put, people, like, why are you putting them in that camp together? But it's like, but no, he was part of that.
Yeah, and they're legitimately friends in real life, too, so.
Lucas was part of that, the young rebels group of, like,
the New Hollywood, essentially.
Yeah, and they were, like, they were fighting hard against, like, the old standards. They were experimenting, doing crazy shit. And yeah, old Lucas was like that, where it's like he was willing to take risks, make huge mistakes, push the bounds of technology at the time and shit.
Yeah. I mean, without him, we wouldn't have all these cool advances.
It's not just that. You look at him, without Lucas, we wouldn't have THX Sound.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have ILM. We wouldn't have Pixar, really. There's a lot of shit we wouldn't have without Lucas, like, being a rebel. And it's like, it's true, the current Lucas is made,
but you could say that about Spielberg and Scorsese and Coppola too.
But these guys were all, they're the foundation of what Hollywood became, of New Hollywood at least. But even then, it's like some of the rebellious streak was still alive in the newer Star Wars films.
I mean, when you think about it, those are basically just big budget independent films.
The rebellious streak, I'm saying though, that's still around is that Lucas made a big shift into recording on digital.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do not realize that, but Episode 2 was like one of the first films to be recorded completely on digital. He had new cameras invented just for that, so it wouldn't look like a home movie.
Yeah.
And like, after him, the dominoes started to fall, and like Robert Rodriguez joined in on that. But Lucas...
Is Spielberg still on film?
I believe so. Mm. Yeah, I don't think he wants to. Yeah, he's part of the club. Like, no, why would you do that? I mean, there's a documentary that talks about that. They're not really making those cameras anymore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, let's see. Justin says, George was not the same guy in 95 when he started writing prequel screenplays that he was back in the 70s. Now that's already been said, but the next part is what is kind of hilarious.
All right.
The earlier trilogy was darker. Well, the prequels seem to be made for 6 years old. They're both made for 6 years old.
Yeah. I think Sith is the only one that is maybe not made with children in mind. But
my beef with this is that this notion that the original Star Wars movies were super dark and for adults, like. And
they're I'm gonna be honest, and this isn't a popular opinion. They're way simpler films than the prequels.
And it's not even just that, but I think there's a Twitter or it was a Facebook post where someone went on to like the official Star Wars page and said, "I can't believe this. They're making these movies just for kids now. Star Wars is ruined." The page, this happens every now and then. Like it's probably an intern. The page said. It's like, hey,
is this the actual Star Wars page?
Yeah.
Because I notice they tend to reply to people now.
The reply was, it says, thanks for the input. When was the first time you saw Star Wars? And essentially, it's like, a lot of people saying, like, Star Wars is for kids now. It's like, they're not realizing, you saw it when you were a kid, too.
Yeah.
But see, retroactively, you're thinking, like, but, you know, when I was little, it's like, movies for adults. And it's like, no, you saw movies that were geared towards children.
Yeah.
And that's not bad. It's like, I want to see more they're family
films. I think the best way to describe Star Wars is it's like an all audiences type.
They're family films. It's like Doctor Who.
Which is a fucking scary show.
Doctor Who is classified by the BBC Charter as a family show.
Yeah.
So it's a demographic that ranges from toddler all the way to elderly. Yes. I mean, Star Wars,
yeah, same thing.
Really the same. Okay, so here's one from 4chan.
Oh, okay. Good old 4chan.
After he sold Star Wars, he said he wanted to sit down and enjoy being in the audience for the first time. He did say that. Mm-hmm. It's obvious he expected Disney to use his notes. Now that they didn't do that, he's ass mad. Imagine being at the premiere of the fans celebrating that Star Wars is finally good again, met with thunderous applause. I mean,
that is something that because I remember even when this was announced, it was like, well, you know it's going to be better than anything he made. And, you know, I can kind of understand that notion, but... Well,
I think the other thing is that what this dude is saying is that Lucas at first seemed pretty like...
He seemed cool with it. Like, yeah, no, obviously, you got
to
be...
He was very cool with it. He said he couldn't wait to watch it with the fans and actually be in the audience for the first time. And that's when they also announced that Lucas, before he sold the rights, he gave them all his notes. We've learned over the past few months is that they didn't use any of his notes.
Yeah.
Because they decided, like, no, we're going to...
I imagine, like, an idea or two might make it in, but as for, like, actual,
well,
like...
Well, I might go into that later.
All right.
It's just... I don't know what he was expecting. I really don't know.
I think he thought they were gonna like pretty much make his movies more or less down to the T, but
it's like your notes are fine, George, but I mean, come on.
It does kind of limit them.
Let them make their own movie.
Yeah.
So, okay. So here's another from 4chan. It's charming how they've got this actor to pretend to be George Lucas, making these bizarre statements when everybody knows that he's been dead for 37 years.
Yeah.
I laughed at it, but it's like, okay, come on. Yeah. George Lucas isn't dead. This is the same old George Lucas. Okay, so here's the last one. Josh says, I like to make the last comments ones usually that sum up everything. So Josh says, mistakes or not, he is still the godfather to all of our childhoods.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
he is.
Like again, and I think more so for like me, because like I grew up with the prequels too. So that's like six fucking movies of like up childhood essentially.
It's not just that, it's just like love him or hate him, he is the foundation for this concept, this saga, this universe that we love so damn much. And it's like, you can dislike the newer movies he's made, but at the same time, it's like, your dislike of them comes from essentially a place of where you've loved the old ones.
Yeah.
And so without him, you wouldn't hate the new ones without him, really. It's a weird thing. But it's like, no, here's the way to describe it. It's when you're really young, you think your parents are the coolest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get older, you're like, oh, that's lame. They're being lame.
Yeah.
It's,
and when they do something, like, horrendous, maybe in your eyes, that's when you start to hate them forever. Much like George Lucas.
I mean, but it's... George Lucas is sort of like... our godfather of childhood.
Yes.
So, next, I'm gonna... Okay, so...
He's talking with a bunch of gods in his mouth.
Yes. Okay, so, speaking of what you were saying about what could have been or whatever, or what he wanted in his notes, our next segment takes us into sort of what was supposed to be and what never came. And this happens on literally all movies where your first draft is different from your next draft.
The first Star Wars draft is really different.
Oh, no, it's crazy. I wanted to go into that, but I figured that's something you could say for another time.
Yeah.
So this is from a Revenge of the Jedi story conference transcript. For those who don't know, originally Return of the Jedi was to be titled Revenge of the Jedi. So this is from July 13th to July 17th, 1981. And the participants in this are George Lucas, Richard Marquand, Lawrence Kasdan, and Howard Kazanagian. So they essentially had meetings.
So this is post-Lynch then?
Yeah.
Okay.
This was when they were talking about Return of the Jedi, and it's this tends to happen. You know, you have a meeting, conferences and shit. So here's the transcript. The story of Anakin. George Lucas says, Anakin Skywalker started hanging out with the Emperor, who at this point nobody knew was bad, because he was an elected official. Lawrence Kasdan says, was he a Jedi? Lucas says, no, he was a politician.
Okay.
Richard M. Nixon was his name.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
The Emperor's name in this draft was Richard M. Nixon. I don't understand it either. He subverted the Senate and finally took over and became an imperial guy. And he was really evil. But he pretended to be a really nice guy. He sucked Luke's father into the dark side. Kasdan says, the Force was available to anyone who could hook into it? Lucas goes, yes, everyone can do it. Kasdan goes,
interesting.
Not just the Jedi? Lucas responds, it's just the Jedi who take the time to do it. Marquand says, they use it as a technique. Lucas goes, like yoga. It's, you want to take the time to do it, you can do it. But the ones that really want to do it are the ones who are into that kind of thing. Also, like karate. Also, another misconception is that Yoda teaches Jedi, but he is like a guru. He doesn't go out and fight anybody. Kasdan says, a Jedi master is a Jedi, isn't he? Lucas goes, well, he is a teacher, not a real Jedi. Understand that? Kasdan goes, I understand what you're saying, but I can't believe it. I'm in shock. Lucas says, it's true, absolutely true. Not that it makes any difference to the story. Kasdan goes, you mean he wouldn't be any good in a fight? Lucas goes, not with Darth Vader he wouldn't. Kasdan says, I accept it, but I don't like it. And so then Lucas says,
I love that.
Lucas says, well, anyway, so here's where we get into the story. Well, anyway, Lucas' father gets subverted by the Emperor, Richard M. Nixon.
I can't take this seriously. It's really weird.
I don't understand that either, but, I mean, whatever. He gets a little...
I know what he's doing, because he's always made comparisons like that with the Emperor, but...
That had to have been a placeholder name.
It is. It's gotta be. Unless...
Ricciardi M. Denixian or something. Yeah. That'd been hilarious. Okay, so he gets a little weird at home, and his wife begins to figure out things are going wrong, and she confides in Ben, who is his mentor. On his missions through the galaxies, Anakin has been going off doing his Jedi thing, and a lot of Jedi have been getting killed, and it's because they turn their back on him that he cuts them down. The president is turning into an emperor, and Luke's mother suspects that something has happened to her husband. She is pregnant. Anakin gets worse and worse, and finally, Ben has to fight him, and he throws him down into a volcano, and Vader is all beat up. Now, when he falls into the pit, his other arm goes and his leg is there, and there's hardly anything left of him by the time the Emperor's troops fish him out of the drink. Then when Ben finds out that Vader has been fished out and is in the hands of the Empire, he is worried about it. He goes back to Vader's wife and explains that Anakin is the bad guy and the one killing the Jedi. When he goes back, his wife, Miss Skywalker, has had the kids, the twins, so she has these two little babies who are 6 months old or so. So everybody has to go into hiding. The Skywalker line is very strong with the Force, so Ben says, I think we should protect the kids, because they may be able to help us right the wrong that your husband has created in the universe. And so Ben takes one and gives them to an unknown couple that are on Tatooine, and he gets his little hideout in the hills and watches him grow. Ben can't raise Luke himself because he's a wanted man. Leia and Luke's mother go to Alderaan and are taken in by the king there, who is a friend of Ben's. She dies shortly thereafter, and Leia's brought up by her foster parents. She knows that her real mother died, and so Kasdan says, She does know that? Lucas says, yes. So we can bring out when Luke is talking to her, she can say that her mother died when I was 2 years old.
Okay, so I do like that it does seem like a lot of... He's maintained a consistent story, more or less.
Yeah. Here's the thing. All the discrepancies people have had are... Had he stuck to this, everything would have been fine.
That's weird.
Like, it answers the questions about, like, the whole Alderaan thing. So from the beginning, Bail Organa was the king. He was supposed to always be the king.
Yeah. The king can still be, like, a senator. Yeah. Like, if that was still... What I want to know is, like, did Padme need to not be, like...
She raised them until they were, like, two, essentially.
Yeah. Or like, so why couldn't they have already been born is what I need to know.
No, see, and him changing that led to the discrepancies. His original vision for this...
There was sound.
It makes so much more sense. And
but then that's when you add things like, okay, well, Vader has a wife, and it's like, the Jedi aren't supposed to be married, and it's also, like, yeah, also, so I could kind of get one.
Emperor and Uncle Owen, they're not related to Anakin. They're just a couple.
Yeah.
Who I guess, wanted a child or something. His earlier vision...
Mind you, I don't think... Owen being related to, and yes, he needs a droid that speaks Bocce.
Yeah,
I don't think Owen being related to Anakin harms.
Oh, it doesn't, like that. but it sort of gets rid of the people asking like, why? How come Vader didn't decide to search that planet? It's like he grew up there.
Yeah,
it gets rid of certain problems, and it's cleaner. I think the whole thing seems cleaner. It makes Leia's statement make more sense that she remembers her mother.
Yeah. She was very young when she remembers her. That was the whole...
Yeah, like, so, I mean...
All right, that's interesting.
So, looking at what it was... But then, and then the Yoda stuff...
That's weird. I feel like, the Jedi... I feel like having Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan doing, like, these flips and all that set the precedent that all Jedi are fucking badass. And
there is the whole, like... Because Yoda, if you watch Empire... Yeah, it's like he's more about the mind and more about, like... the spirit and shit like that.
I saw a weird someone try to rationalize it. Obviously, you can't because this was made without episode 2 in mind. Was that because Yoda fucked up horrendously against Palpatine with the lightsaber, he vowed never to use it again. So, but it's like, but that wasn't, that those movies didn't exist.
I do like his original aspect, though, of having Yoda just be a guru. And it sort of being the guy who just teaches the ways of the Force. And also this notion that anyone can use the Force, which when you watch the original movies, it kind of hints that, like, because the Force binds us, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like, you
just... That's why, like, because I watched the Family Guy thing last night, when Leia is able to, like, sense Luke, it doesn't seem that out of place.
Yeah.
But when you know everything, it's kind of like, oh, well, she can do that because they're related.
So, I mean...
You know?
Lucas's this it just sounded so sound, and then of course things changed, and
obviously things changed.
He probably forgot some of this. So here's moving on from that bit of like whoa. Here's Lucas talking about his vision.
Has anyone ever noticed that Lucas and Luke, is that a thing?
No, I never really heard people talk about that.
Yeah.
So this was from 1983. This is an interview that he did, and this was his vision for episode 7, 8, and 9,
ooh,
which he said probably would never happen, but he said maybe at some point he would get to it. So here's his vision for 7, 8, and 9. Episode 7, 8, and 9 deal with the rebuilding of the Republic and the necessity for moral choices and the wisdom needed to distinguish right from wrong. If the first trilogy is social and political and talks about how society evolves, Star Wars is more about personal growth and self-realization. So from there, the political aspect, this is 1983, he always envisioned the first trilogy to be about politics. So
I have no issue with that, to be honest. I do think that's an interesting aspect that unfortunately kind of gets muddled in all the other shit.
I think what's interesting, though, is since this is 83, a lot of people bitch and complain saying, like,
he became weird.
Like, why did he add in politics? He didn't originally want to do that. No, it's clear. He says it even here. The first trilogy is social and political and talks about how society evolves.
He kind of briefly alludes to, like, an Imperial Senate in the first, in A New Hope. So I think that's kind of interesting. I don't imagine that being, like, a...
Yeah. No, because he said Star Wars is more about personal growth and self-realization.
Yeah.
So that's the second trilogy. Okay. and the third deals with moral and philosophical problems. In Star Wars, there is a very clear line drawn between good and evil. Eventually, you have to face the fact that good and evil aren't clear-cut, and the real issue is trying to understand the difference. The sequel is about Jedi knighthood, justice, confrontation, and passing on what you have learned.
Hmm.
So, there's a lot of comments around this one, people saying that it sounds like he kind of wanted to make Knights of the Old Republic too. Like,
kind of, yeah, like where it's like you kind of have like more pathos, I guess, going into
and
this.
The gray area of the Force.
Yeah, which like he sort of gets into with like Revenge of the Sith, but not really, because Anakin's clearly psychotic at that point. But
and that goes into, I know this is expanded universe I'm referencing, but a lot of people have forgotten that there used to be a thing called Dark Jedis.
Yeah.
And that's sort of been forgotten, because after the Sith became more popular, they sort of expanding sort of threw that to the side. So apparently what it was is that Jedi who use their powers for evil could actually just be Dark Jedi. And there were tons of them. The Sith was more of a sacred order. They were separate.
Yeah.
And they were like a different type of evil. So that's interesting. So I guess he was gonna play around with that notion more, but of course that never came to pass. So
he kind of gets into it in the Clone Wars, actually. Oh, there's little bits of fallen Jedi and all that. So that's interesting. All
right. So the last one I didn't include just because it was so fucking hilarious. Okay. So in the first draft, and I'm talking about not the first completed draft, his rough draft. Okay.
I'm ready.
It's just so fucking funny. Cause the Shit was a character who appeared in George Lucas's 1974 rough draft for Star Wars. The character would eventually become Emperor Palpatine. However, there is no evidence that the Shit was force sensitive like Palpatine. Okay, wait. So when the first draft came around, he ended up renaming Caused the Shit to Sun Hat.
Sun Hat.
He remains otherwise identical in speech and action. So the Emperor's name was Caused the Shit.
Nice.
He caused the shit.
He did. I mean, when you think about it, he did cause all that shit.
And then he turned him into Sun Hat.
That sounds like some Muppets tier shit where it's like
two H's, by the way. Sun Hat.
Sun Hat. That sounds like cartoon shit where the main like bad guy or Jean Villon or whatever
caused the shit. That is so beautiful.
That's amazing.
But yeah, so that's sort of a peek into, I mean, this happens with all movies, but it's a peek into what George Lucas initially wanted.
Yeah.
And how things changed. So, all right. So,
I do have some quick bits for you.
Yeah. So before we end this, we're gonna finish off with some Star Wars related quick bits. Yes. So what do you have?
So this is regarding Battlefront.
All right.
It's a new Star Wars game. Yeah. So here we go. Fuck the people that bought this game. I'm so sick of playing this game. It is not even fun. The last time I enjoyed a video game was back when they first released Mario Brothers. Not the Goomba-stomping fat ass that did shrooms.
Jesus.
But the game that taught you real skills as you tried to kill Luigi. That motherfucker was a sorcerer.
Luigi?
Yeah. Well, the original Mario Brothers where they're running through pipes and shit.
Why would you need to kill Luigi?
It was like a combat thing. It was
I thought...
The original Mario...
No, I know what you're talking about. Pipes intersecting across the screen.
Yeah. I think they're just two clones of Mario.
You had to kill Luigi?
That's what he's saying. What the fuck? I haven't played that in a long
time. I thought you like worked together. That's weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is for the Clone Wars cartoon. You know, a lot of people being kind of perverted with the female character and all that.
Yeah.
So someone said that Ahsoka Tano, the main lead, is a very attractive woman. But they said it in a much more disgusting
way. Oh, no.
Yeah, but I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
So... Sir, you are clearly mistaken regarding Ahsoka Tano. She is not attractive at all. The amount of semen that I've dedicated to Mace Windu could have built the Great Wall of China.
I'm sure Samuel Jackson appreciates that.
I'm sure he does.
Oh, wow. That's not nice.
So
that's
this is regarding the new Star Trek TV show
okay.
that is coming out. I am curious to see how this is going to affect The Force Awakens. I know they always tried to keep both spaceships away from each other. But with the way technology is advancing, it's going to be hard to justify why they can't hang out together in the next movie. Okay. I don't know if anyone... I don't know anyone who's ever stated that they think they're in the same universe. Like,
no, I've heard people.
Are you serious? I mean, I understand...
In school, it's like you would always... People don't really care about like sci-fi or anything. They always make those comments like, how come they just don't put them together? You know, how can they never meet up with
God
each other?
God damn it.
Yeah.
All right, so this is for the Force Awakens trailer.
Okay.
You know, showing you new characters.
Yeah.
You know. I'm pretty sure that this new bad guy is the new Darth Vader. Let us look at the basic facts here. He is wearing black. Fact.
Okay.
He is tall. Fact.
All right.
He is a deep voice. Fact.
Okay.
He has a red sword. Fact.
All right.
He is the Star Wars bad guy. Fact.
Okay.
I would not be surprised if he is actually Darth Vader himself trying to bring back the Emperor. Fact. Okay. Sound off in the comments section. May the Force go with me.
I don't know why he put fact on that last one. That's just your theory. Everything else, no, I agree with everything else. But.
I think he meant it's literally the, like, it's Darth Vader come to life again. Oh, I think that's what
he meant. No, that does sound like what he means.
Yeah. So Peter Mayhew did a, like, a Reddit
AMA
and all that, you know.
Cool dude.
Yeah, he's cool. He seems like one of the most, like, chill guys from that.
Seems like a dude you go to a pub with.
Yeah.
Have a
pint.
Have a nice pint, yes.
Yeah. So this is what one passionate fan said.
No.
When Chewbacca died... Okay, so I forgot to say...
In the expanded universe,
Chewbacca dies by... I believe a moon crushes him.
He dies the same way Piccolo dies for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
When Chewbacca died, I almost gave up. Life did not mean much more. I had seen heroes come and go... And come again in some cases. This had depressed me so.
Okay.
Why was so much bad shit happening? Superman decided to beat up Perry, and the He-Man became the She-Man. None of this mattered until Chewbacca was killed by the moon. Lucas should be ashamed of his actions on that day. When Chewbacca died, I let out a mighty Wookiee roar and prayed that something could change. Then the new movies came out. And I remember that I am safe, and that you are safe too. Thank you, Chewbacca.
Let's just let that one rest on its
own.
That's
quick bits.
All right. Well, that was our sort of our mini Star Wars episode.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a full episode, but I mean, it's like.
Covering Star Wars is a beast in its own right.
It's fun too.
It is fun, but you know.
In December, we'll probably actually have like another Star Wars episode. Let's just be honest. But yeah, so it's Thanksgiving week, so that's something to tide you over, and then so we will see you on, or you'll hear us on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We have a. Another mini up. We have a. It might be shorter. Who knows? But we have an episode planned for you. So, going back to the beginning, I guess. This is a creepy one. Monkeys have tails. No tail.
Shock the monkey. I'm gonna. Yeah, this one is actually Shock the Monkey this time.
This is the 1980s Curious George theme song.
What the fuck? Did that not a show?
Curious George, the curious little monkey. Oh, what fun to run and jump and play. Curious George, the curious little monkey. Let's go see what he's doing today.
Jar Jar is a key to all this. If we get Jar Jar working, because he's a funnier character than we've ever had in any of the movies before. Well, again, it's like poetry. It's sort of, they rhyme. Mm-hmm. Every stanza kind of rhymes with the last one. Hopefully it'll work.